Revelation 18, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Ask him to bless this time. Father God, we just want to be still before you this morning. So grateful and so thankful that we live in a country that gives us a lot of freedoms. But Lord, as we look at the landscape around us and we hear of the certain current events that have happened in Dallas, in Orlando, just seems more and more, and even all over this world, Lord, with Paris and different places, that more shootings, more killings, just we're in dire days. And so, Lord, we find ourselves in a place where we can be maybe a little nervous, maybe a little scared. Will it happen to us? Could it happen to us in our town, in our church, in our home? And God, I pray that you would help us to rest in you, that we would find strength in your presence in our lives. We do pray for the families of those who have lost their loved ones in Dallas and in Orlando. And all over this world, Lord, we pray that those who are mourning this morning, that you would comfort them, that you would be with them, that they would cry out to you, and that you would provide for them, meet their needs. We've seen you do it in our own lives. We've seen you do it in our own church. And we just pray, Lord, that we would continue to be faithful, even though we see things stirring up and getting ready. It's just so ironic that we're in chapter 18 of Revelation this morning, and how it's a great reminder that we are not of this world, that we belong to you, we are citizens of heaven. And I pray that every single person in this room would act that way, that we would be more than those conquerors that we are already, and find our confidence and strength only in you. So bless this study as we've come to hear from you. Speak clearly, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you've ever heard this saying before, but if money can fix your problems, you really don't have problems. Just ask somebody who has cancer. No amount of money can cure cancer. Ask someone who has a loved one that's addicted to drugs or alcohol. No amount of money can cure that addiction. Ask someone that's been in a divorce, gone through a divorce, or has a spouse that's been unfaithful. No amount of money can cure a broken heart. And so it's a reality for us to realize, yes, money is something that we deal with, something that we consider and have to put up with, but it's not our source of strength. It's not what we put our hope in. And so this morning, I want to remind us all that we live in a day and in a country that's very wealthy from the world's perspective. But that's not where our hope is. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in the Lord. And as we're into chapter 18, we're going to see the end of this world, the end of this monetary system fall. And we're finally going to see the return of Christ in chapter 19. But it was a reminder to me and a reminder to us this morning of the dangers and the traps of materialism. Stuff. Things that we acquire. Things that we see other people have and that we might long for. Money can help, but money cannot heal. Money can open doors, but money cannot guarantee the outcome. I don't care how much money you pour towards something, the outcome may not be changeable. And that's the reality. Money can't buy happiness. I don't know if you've experienced that in your life. Sometimes money can buy misery. No, happiness comes from a time that you spend with loved ones and people that you care about. That's where happiness comes from. Relationships. Time with your loved ones, your family, your friends. Those are the things that matter. The people that have touched your life. That's what brings us happiness. I wrote this down. Happiness is something that's on the inside. It's not something that's on the outside. It's not anything we put on. It's not anything that we acquire. Not anything that we have. It's not an outward thing. It's an inward thing. And it may be a weak illustration, but the only one I could think of. Many years ago, when I had hair on my head, one day, my wife said to me, you're starting to lose your hair. It's not something a man wants to hear. And I said, yes, that's just the way it is. You know, that's what God wants. That's fine. But it got to me thinking, and I did something crazy. You've probably heard of it. Hair Club for Men. I went to Hair Club for Men. Obviously, I didn't get Hair Club for Men. But I went in there, and this was an interesting thing. So this woman says, oh, we can help you out. We can fix your problem. And when you have a new head of hair, you're going to feel so much better about yourself. And I said, whoa, 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 time out. I already feel pretty good about myself. I don't need hair to feel good about myself. Some of you may identify with this. And this woman just said, no, 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 you're going to feel so much more confident, so much. And I said, listen, I am not here for myself. I'm here for my wife. She doesn't even know I'm here, but I'm just here for my wife. I just want to know what this thing. And they explain the whole process and the cost. And I'm like, there is no way I'm spending that much just so I can have bangs again. I kind of like beachfront property, so I figure I represent it rightly, right? But the reality, this is what the world looks at, right? The world says, whatever's going good on the outside, that's good, right? Whatever we have, whatever we possess, that's what makes us happy. No, it doesn't, does it? The more we have, the more we have to be responsible for. And the days that we live in, as we see things heating up in this world, I feel like we're getting closer and closer to the return of Christ. I was just talking to someone this morning. I can't imagine how much longer Jesus could wait with the things that are going on, with the shootings and the floods and the fires and all this craziness going on in the world. It's like, Lord, it's definitely time for you to return. And so I want to remind us this morning that our hope and our trust is in God. And the traps of materialism, especially in the country that we live in, we need to guard those things as Christians. Again, it's not bad to have things. Abraham was one of the wealthiest people in the time that he lived. But the interesting thing about that, the Bible doesn't talk much about it, does it? No, it doesn't even give us any. And so we just have to understand that that's who he was, and it's not about that. So if you have things, great. If you don't have things, great. Just rest in the Lord. Because it's a trap, and that's what we're seeing in Revelation chapter 18. It's a trap. In Revelation 17, if you were here the last time we were in it, we were looking at the spiritual Babylon, okay? The religious Babylon, and God took care of that and removed that false religion. Here in chapter 18, we're seeing Babylon again, but this time it's the political and it's the economical Babylon that God is going to take out. So look with me, if you will, Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. We're just going to read the first three verses. And we read, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. And the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. So give me your attention. The first thing we see here in Revelation chapter 18, John the apostle on the island of Patmos in prison in the spirit sees another angel, an angel that comes that has another message. And it's interesting to me what John sees as he sees this angel. With a lot of authority and displaying a lot of glory as he illuminates the earth. This angel has a message. And the message is basically the destruction of the economic system that's on earth at the time. The thing we got to remember, in the tribulation period, the first 3.5 years are going to be the best 3.5 years monetarily that the world's ever going to see. Stock market's going to be good. People are going to make a lot of money. They're going to think that life is really good. The second half of the tribulation period is when things are going to go bad. And so this is what's happening in this particular chapter. We're at the very end. Chapter 19 ushers in the return of Christ, the second coming of Christ. And here we're seeing the absolute destruction, the economic destruction of Babylon. It's coming. And we're going to see as we read through this a description of the world during those days. And I got to tell you, as we look at the description, it looks real close to the United States of America. We're in a pretty good season right now. The economy's coming back. People are getting kind of more confident in things. And I don't know about you, but it's like you feel like something's coming. I mean, in this next election, we're going to see some things. Who knows what's going to happen? This is our dependence upon God, trusting in the Lord. We see the world's ways here. Notice it says in verse 3, "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Again, the Babylon, the city of Babylon. "The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." So we see nations, we see kings, and we see merchants. We see nations of people, we see leaders as kings of those nations, and then we see the merchants, the people who are doing business. Everything's going great. Everything's just fine, but it's coming to an end. And we all know that, right? Aren't we so glad that we have a Bible that tells us the end is coming so that we don't put our hope in these types of things, so that we as Christians can read this scripture and go to, is my life in check? Is my heart in check? Am I putting more trust in my 401k, in my stock market, or in my bank account, or am I trusting in Jesus to provide for my life? Is that where our hope is? Because when our hope's in Christ, guess what? He lives forever. He's on his throne in heaven, and he's always there for us. Riches are not always going to be there. Anybody ever experienced the loss of some riches? Ever been through a tough time financially? It's the worst experience ever. And we deal with it day in, day out. I'm no different than you. I'm a pastor of this church, and I deal with paying bills, paying staff, dealing with, you know, different dealings in the business and making sure that our church is, whatever, growing, doing what God wants us to do. So there's stress. That's life. We all deal with that stress. But what we all can come to an agreement with is, at the end of the day, God, you're so good. You're so faithful. I can trust in you. Why do I worry about these things? Bible says don't worry. It's hard not to worry. How are we going to pay the rent? How are we going to do it? God always has a way. In my life, I've seen God provide time after time after time. Why do I continue to worry? Why do we continue to stress out? We just need to trust in him. He always seems to get us through. So things are good in the beginning, but the end has been declared. And then we move on to verse 4, and now we see something interesting. Look with me. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed double for her, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and I and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her." Isn't it interesting? We don't have any air conditioning today, and we're talking about things burning. Isn't that a good perspective to have, though, in life? That all of these things that we have are going to burn up. You know? You've heard me say in the past, why is it we store our stuff in storage units. You know, why do we pay monthly fees to store our stuff? I mean, if you're between houses, I get it. But I mean, I got a storage of stuff I'm not using. It's just sitting there. It's rotten. It's getting whatever. It's like, why do we do that? We've got such an abundance. I look at my house and I try to say, who has need of this? You know, I've got a blender. I'm like, I don't use this blender. Why don't, give it. Who needs a blender? Anybody raise your hand. I'm giving out a blender. There's a blender. Okay, gone. Good. A lamp. I got a lamp. Anybody need a lamp? There, we got a lamp. Good. Get this stuff out. Oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Last night I was having dinner with some friends, and my wife liked to remind them that my garage, my workbench, is a place for just collecting stuff. And that's my wife's gentle way of saying, if you don't clean the garage soon, I'm going to throw it all out. So it's a little check in the back of my mind. Wednesday this week, I'm cleaning out my garage. Clean out the stuff we have. Give it to people that have need of it. I don't know what that conversation is, but I want to hear about it later. In verses, what do we read? 4 through 8. If you're taking notes, here's the thing. We're going to deal with the trap of materialism. Can we put that up there, Wendy? I want you to see the trap of materialism. It's very easy, isn't it? As Christians, we can get caught in this trap, right? Anybody knows me? I like new things. New iPhone comes out, I just want it. I'm sorry, I just want it. There's nothing wrong with the one I have. Typically, I give it to somebody else, pass it on. I just like new things. It's who I am. But there's, I don't, my hope and my trust isn't in those new things. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't think, and that's what we're seeing here as we see in verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven come out of her, my people. A voice from heaven, the destruction of Babylon. During the tribulation period, there are going to be people that get saved and believe in Jesus. And what is God from heaven saying? He's saying, come out of her, my people. Don't get caught up in materialism. Don't get caught up in the pleasure. Look at the end of verse, where is it? Oh. The end of verse 3, it says, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. God is saying to the believers in the tribulation period, come out of that. Come out of that mindset. My friends, he's telling us that today. We've got to come out of that mindset of living in luxury. Hey, there's nothing wrong with taking a vacation. There's nothing wrong with going to a beach, hanging out, having a good time with friends. But it's like we don't live for that. I was telling someone this morning who said, man, I'm just tired today. I was walking them into church. Hey, I'm tired. I go, yep, we're going to do life tired until we get to heaven. It's just going to be the way it is. Our bodies are getting older, our bodies are wearing out, and we're getting tired. There's a lot to do. There's a lot of people's lives to be touched and a lot of people's lives to be changed. Number one, if you're taking notes, God's people avoid the trap of materialism. Verse 4, come out of her, my people. Avoid the trap of materialism. How do you do that? You keep things in check. Covetousness is a sin. When you see someone who has something you want, you go, oh, I want one of those. Careful, pray. If you can buy one, if you can get one, great. But if not, no, there's no reason to keep up with the Joneses, right? The proverbial keeping up with the Joneses. We got to have the things that other people have rather than being content with what God has given you already. Are you a person that is content with where you are in your life? And nothing wrong with wanting things, nothing wrong with desiring things, but are you truly content with the place that you are? If you are, I applaud you. Praise God. If you're not, what's keeping you from getting there? Is it money? Is it stuff? Is it a relationship? Is it getting us to that place where we go, Lord, I got to focus more on you than I got to focus on my stuff? As Christians, we must avoid this trap of materialism. You know, as Christians, we're supposed to live with integrity. And one way to avoid the trap is to make sure we're being integrous people. Doing things that are right. Just this morning, someone came to me and said, listen, my husband and I, we went back to, I think it was Sam's, to return something that was broken that we had bought there a year earlier. And when they returned it, the price of the item at the time that they returned it was more than when they actually bought it. Okay, so a year ago, they got it on sale. But the Sam's was ready to give them all the money that it was current value of the item that moment. What would you have done? This is a blessing from the Lord. Praise God, right? I mean, sometimes we do that. They don't seem to care. But no, integrity says, no, wait a minute. I appreciate this, but when we paid for this, it was on sale, and you only owe us this much. That's integrity. That is avoiding the trap of materialism. Because, oh, I'm going to get what I can get. Right? It's being a person of integrity. Someone gives you more money, you know, at Starbucks or at the grocery store. Oh, I remember when I first worked as a cashier. I was a cashier at a local grocery store when I was young. I gave somebody $100 too much. I don't know how I did it. I mean, it was my first day on the register. $100. Probably would have fired me. I would have fired me. But this kind woman came back and said, you accidentally gave me $100 too much. Wow. And to this day, I still remember that. To this day, I still think about, if someone's going to give me more, I want to make sure I do right. Because God's watching. And we have learned to avoid materialism. Let's be fair. Blessings come from the Lord, right? And we know when they come from the Lord. So let's just embrace those. It says in John chapter 17, Jesus said this, and I love this verse. It's John 17, 14. It says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Are we living with that type of mentality? We're not of this world. That helps us avoid materialism when we realize, hey, I'm not about this. We live in a country that says, get ahead, doesn't it? You go to school, you get an education so that you can make a lot of money, so that you can live successfully. Listen, provide for your means, certainly. Have an abundance to bless others. But don't get tied up in the trap of materialism. Because Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. Have you ever experienced that in your life? When you give something to someone and they, what a blessing that is. I love getting gifts, but I love to give gifts as well. And like I said, I like new things, but I also like to help others get things as well. And so I'm always asking myself, when I hear someone say, well, I need this or I want that, immediately I want to do it for them. But immediately I also pray, Lord, should I? Is this going to be a benefit to them? Or is it going to be a hindrance? To always be looking for those opportunities. That also helps us avoid materialism, is when we're looking after the affairs of others. So important, so important. In verse 5, it says, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. We know that the Babylon and the people of the tribulation period are wicked and are self-centered. And here we see God remembers their iniquities. He remembers the mistakes that they've made. And as Christians, aren't we glad that God doesn't remember our mistakes? God has the ability to remember certain things, and he has the ability not to remember certain things. He remembers their iniquities, but in our lives, our iniquities are forgiven at the cross. That is a good place, a good standing to be in. And I love the fact that the Bible says that to us and reminds us that he does not remember our iniquities. We may. We may keep it in our minds, but God does not. So let us not forget that. And I just love the last verse, verse 8 there. It says, therefore her plagues will come in one day, quick destruction, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire right here. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Have you found God to be strong in your life? Have you found God to be faithful to care for you? I have. I love the fact that I serve a God who's stronger than anything. And this is a great reminder for all of us that he will fight our battles and we don't have to worry about acquiring stuff. God will take care of us. So that's the first thing. The second thing is God's people understand the trap of materialism. We understand the trap of materialism. It's not like we're tricked by it. It's obvious. If we know people that have a lot and aren't happy, that should show us it right there, that there's no happiness in it. Well, look at verse 9 through 19. It's basically a description of the tribulation period at the end here and what the people are like. Look at this. It says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. That's interesting. But you can see the wealth during these times in the last days, the last city of Babylon. Verse 14. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour such great riches have come to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ships, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in one hour she is made desolate." So verses 9 through 19 give us a very clear description of what's happening in the world, how the world is responding to this economic system that's coming to fall. When all of your eggs are in one basket and that basket goes away, you have nothing left. That's what we see here. If we see in verse 9, kings, we see in verse 15, merchants, and we see in verse 17, shipmasters. So we see leaders, we see the people of the world there, and we also see those that move cargo and those types of things that transfer goods from in the world. They're all looking back going, now what do? We have nothing. All of our wealth is gone. They're weeping and mourning. It says weeping and mourning, weeping and lamenting, leaping and wailing. Some of us do that, don't we? When we lose something, when something is taken from us, it breaks our hearts. The condition of the world at the end is going to be so dire because all of their hopes and dreams were in their wealth. All their hopes and dreams were in their stuff, and it's being taken away. I would hope that every single person in here, if you lost every material possession that you had except your kids and your family, you would still worship God. You would still honor him because we know, we understand the trap of materialism. The enemy wants you to love the stuff you have so much that you exhaust your efforts to keep it and to keep it safe. Now, understand this is what's going to happen. We don't want to be those people that say, alas, alas, or what this means is actually, woe, woe, it's grief, it's mourning. These people's hearts are broken. It's like their lives have been taken away from them. It shouldn't be like this for the body of Christ. Many years ago, it was probably 20 years ago, in a Calvary chapel in Fort Lauderdale, there was a gentleman who was into finance. And he was going around to different people in the church. And he said, listen, I've got this take on a stock. Anytime anybody says, I've got a take on a stock, run. Says it's about ready to go public. And if you get in now, you'll be able to double your money within 30 days. Sounds appealing. It's a guaranteed thing. Well, several people in the church put their money into this investment, and that stock tanked. Never went public. Lost all their money. And I never forget that story because it's a great reminder. It's like, life is hard. We got to put in the time. We've got to work to get reward back. We can't find shortcuts. We can't put our hopes and dreams in that. It was a great lesson for my wife and I and for many others who lost a lot more than we did, that we're making sure that we're trusting and not focusing on the things that we have in our lives. So much more important is your relationship to your spouse, to your parents, to your children, and to your friends. Those are the things that matter. Those are the only things we take with us when we get to heaven. Let's invest in those. Let's realize that that's where the investment must be. In fact, let's go over to Matthew chapter 6, as I told you. Matthew chapter 6, we'll pick up in verse 19. Jesus speaks in verse 19 of chapter 6. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where's your heart this morning? Where is your soul? Where do you put most of your investment in? Your relationship with God should be a priority in your life. And then your relationship with your family. Those are the things that we have to prioritize in life. And God says, Jesus says, don't store up for yourselves treasures here on earth. Don't do it. It's futile. And he goes on, look at verse 22. "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which mammon is riches, it's money. You can't serve the two. So I ask you this morning, who are you serving? Who are you serving? We all need to have jobs. We all need to make money. We all need those things to provide and pay our bills. But let's make sure they're in balance. Let's make sure we're storing up treasures in heaven. You know, there's nothing wrong with working hard for a career. There's nothing wrong with putting in the time. But I pray that there's nobody in this room that's spending more time at the office than they are spending time with their kids. They're spending time with their families. Hey, I worked a job. I worked many, many hours when Lou and I first got married. And I had sometimes worked through the night. And sometimes you have to do that. I get it. But let us not sacrifice that time with our loved ones so that we can certainly pay the bills. Let's put our time in and trust that God will provide. God will, you know, the more time we put in, I think I can't remember the verse. It just kind of entered my mind. But there's that verse that says, you know, you put in all this time and you're putting your money in pockets that have holes. God says, listen, you do your time at work. You do make a good living. I'll take care of the rest. God provides in that way. And so here's a reminder. Do we have a grasp on the true value of our relationship with God? And when we do have that relationship in line, all other relationships fall into place. So it's so important that we do that. Finally, we look at go back to Revelation. We're going to look at verse 20. Look at this verse. I love this. After all this has happened, of all this destruction has happened, of all the mourning that's happening, verse 20 says, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpets shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. And then read with me verse 1 in chapter 19. After these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. So God's people avoid the trap of materialism. God's people also understand the trap of materialism. But the last thing we see, God's people have a reason to rejoice. And I would say God's people always have a reason to rejoice. And that's what he's saying. Rejoice over her. We're not rejoicing when someone gets the punishment that they deserve. We're rejoicing over the fairness of God. God avenging his people. I'm sure in your life you've been wronged a time or two. People have taken advantage of you. You can still rejoice because God doesn't miss it. God sees it and God will make it right. He will avenge us in the end. And all of heaven is looking down at this awful destruction on earth and they're worshiping. They're praising God because their focus is on God and not on things. Our hope and trust need to be in the Lord. And I hope this morning that's where your hope and trust is. Rejoice in God's justice. The trap of materialism is overcome by worshiping the Lord. Think about it. When we can get so caught up in the hustle and bustle of life and trying to accomplish and acquire more and more things, when we can just stop and focus on the Lord for a minute and go, God, you're all I need. Is God all you need, really? Now, some of you are probably going, yeah, I need God, but I also need some more money. I also need this. Is there a list of other things besides God, or is God enough? I would hope that this would be a reminder for us that God is enough. And I love the fact that, Blake, you shared Romans 8:28, because I had it written here. And it says, I'm going to repeat it. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I love that Paul starts out, and we know. Do you know? All things work for good for those who are called according to it, who love God. Do we know that? Dallas was an awful, awful tragedy. Can we apply this verse to it? Can we try to apply this verse and say, no, God's going to produce good out of it? Let's pray for that. Let's ask for that. Let's say that God doesn't take our horrific and tragic situations and turn them around for his good. That maybe we would start realizing it's more important in this world to love our neighbor than to shoot our neighbor just because we have certain prejudices. Thank God the Lord doesn't do that. You don't love me? Pow. I mean, that's not God. You don't love me? I still love you. That's what God does. Our job is to love. And yes, our hearts can be broken and there can be a lot of anger inside for the acts of other people. But let us make a difference. Let us make a change in that. Let us rejoice in God and then ask him, Lord, what can I do? I think it would be a great thing if you ever see an officer on the road to stop and shake their hand and say, thank you for the work you do. I saw a video on Facebook, and the percentage of police officers in our country compared to the number of people in our country, their job is impossible to try to keep justice. I would never want to be a cop. I would never want to be in that responsibility that, hey, at any moment I can get shot. To make a split-second decision and then maybe regret it, that's a hard job. I know there's things that are going on in our world that we don't understand, and we don't understand how these things are happening. But let us not just be pulled down with that. Let us use that to bring good in our world. I hope we can do that. There's one more thing I want you to see, and then we're out of here because I'm starting to sweat. I don't know if you caught it or not, but go back to verse 1 with me in chapter 18. It says, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. The earth was illuminated with the glory of this angel. Where did he get that glory from? By being in the presence of God. And yes, we got to avoid the trap of materialism. We got to understand the trap of materialism, and we got to rejoice in our Lord. But the most important thing we can do is spend time with him, to be in his presence so that the world around us can see his glory. I don't want anybody to see me. I want people to see the glory of God. I want people to see the glory of Jesus in my life. It's like Peter and John. It says in Acts 4, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. I would say the only thing that's going to help us with materialism is being in the presence of God. Because when we're in the presence of God and his glory is shining on us, it's more than enough. Right? Paul said, nothing in this world is compared to the glory that shall be revealed when we see God. Whew. Guys, we live in tough days, and there's no doubt about it. But we cannot be discouraged. We cannot be beat down. The church needs to stand up and show the glory of God. We know these days are coming. Thank God we're going to be in heaven watching them, singing hallelujah. God is good. But let us do it even now. Let us be worshiping God even today so that we don't get caught up in the stuff of life. Stuff is good, it's helpful, but it's also there to be used. So let's use it rightly for the glory of God. Father, we thank you for your word today. And we thank you, God, that in the next chapter, we're going to see your return. And Lord, it's hard for us to read and even rejoice over the destruction of anyone. Even wicked Babylon, even the wicked world that rejects you, you still love them. You still desired them to come to know you, but they refused. So God, I would pray for us this morning that you would help us to love everybody. That there would be none in this world or in our world, in our circle, that would not know the love of God. That they would not see the love of God in us. Because you loved us so much. You didn't pick us because we're of super smart or super strong. You picked us because we're weak and we can be used in you and used by you. So I pray, Lord, that you would raise up the church and our church to live in victory, to not be overcome and wore down by the trap of materialism. It's okay to have nice things, but let us use those things to accomplish a greater goal. And that goal is to spread the news of Jesus Christ. So bless these people who are here today. Bless those who have heard your word. And now, Lord, let your word live through them. We love you, God. We thank you for this time. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.